In 1862, Abraham Lincoln allegedly greeted a diminutive woman with words that would echo through history. So you're the little woman who wrote the book that started this great war. Whether he actually said this matters less than the truth it captures. Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin didn't just sell 300,000 copies in its first year. It detonated across American consciousness like a moral bomb. Theatrical adaptations filled every stage. Songs echoed its themes. British women collected over 500,000 signatures on anti-slavery petitions inspired by its pages. This wasn't merely a bestseller. It was a cultural earthquake that forced an entire nation to confront the humanity it had spent generations denying. What makes this achievement staggering is that Stowe wrote as a woman in an era when female voices were systematically dismissed. Yet she managed to transform the conversation about America's original sin. The spark came in 1850 with the Fugitive Slave Law, which forced Northerners to become active participants in slavery's machinery. Suddenly, free states weren't sanctuaries, they were hunting grounds. When Stowe's sister urged her to write against this injustice, Stowe declared, "I will write something. I will if I live." But intellectual outrage alone doesn't create transformative art. Personal anguish does. In 1849, Stowe had buried her 18-month-old son Charlie after cholera ravaged him. That grief became her bridge to understanding what enslaved mothers felt when their children were torn from their arms and sold like livestock. Financial ruin forces Kentucky plantation owner Shelby to sell Uncle Tom, a deeply religious, capable man, and young Harry, son of the enslaved woman Eliza. Overhearing this, Eliza flees with her child across ice-choked waters in literature's most harrowing escape scene. Tom stays from misplaced loyalty that will destroy him. His journey takes him to Augustine St. Clair, a man who recognizes slavery's evil but lacks courage to act. Here, Tom meets little Eva, whose unconditional love briefly creates humanity within an inhumane system. After Eva dies and her father is killed before freeing his slaves, Tom is sold to Simon Legree, slavery at its most demonic. On Legree's hellish plantation, Tom encounters Cassie, a woman so broken by repeated rape and child loss that she killed her own infant rather than watch it grow up enslaved. Despite fatal beatings, Tom maintains his faith and helps Cassie escape, an act costing his life but redeeming those around him. Parallel runs the Harris family's desperate flight north through Quaker safe houses, while slave catchers pursue with legal authority. When cornered, George Harris exposes American hypocrisy. "We stand here as free, under God's sky, as you are, and by the great God that made us, we'll fight for our liberty till we die." Uncle Tom's Cabin frames slavery as Christianity's antithesis through Tom's transformation from Christ-like figure to Christ himself, experiencing divine presence, praying for his tormentors, and redeeming others through death. Stowe became the first American writer to imagine an enslaved person as Christ, a theological revolution challenging white supremacist Christianity. The novel contrasts genuine faith with hypocrisy. Senator Byrd votes for the Fugitive Slave Law, but shelters an escaped mother when abstract principles collapse before human suffering. Miss Ophelia opposes slavery while recoiling from enslaved children until Eva's love for Topsy breaks through trauma and prejudice. When Eva tells Topsy, "I love you because you haven't had any father or mother or friends," she demonstrates love's power to heal dehumanization's deepest wounds. Stowe weaponizes the 19th century's gender divide, positioning women as moral authorities over men's abstract reasoning. Mrs. Byrd's protest supersedes her husband's legislative vote. Mrs. Shelby recognizes selling Tom's evil when her husband sees only financial necessity. Most powerfully, motherhood becomes a universal bond transcending race. Stowe names multiple children Harry to underscore that all mothers share the same fierce love. Stowe reveals slavery's psychological devastation across all it touches. Cassie, once educated and refined, has been hardened by sexual exploitation and lost children. Topsy, denied knowledge of her origins, claims she never was born and just growed, a child so dehumanized she believes herself unlovable. Even white characters suffer corruption. Young Henrique beats his slave despite his generous nature because the system encourages cruelty. Simon Legree's sadism stems partly from rejecting his mother's love, a wound he inflicts through brutality. Stowe exposes slavery's economic machinery with surgical precision. Mr. Shelby's financial troubles show how even humane owners sell human beings to satisfy creditors, economic pressures overriding morality. Trader Haley views humans purely as commodities, valued by age, health, and appearance. Legree embodies slavery's brutal logic, explicitly working slaves to death rather than maintaining them, finding replacement cheaper than care. This chilling calculus exposes the fundamental incompatibility between human dignity and treating people as disposable property. When slaves are sold to satisfy northern debts, Stowe exposes Wall Street's complicity. Christian men who felt uneasy trading souls but couldn't sacrifice $30,000 for principle. Stowe recognized that motherhood created a universal bond, transcending race, a radical insight in an era barely acknowledging Black women's humanity. Her genius lay in wielding analogy as a weapon. If it were your hairy mother, how fast could you walk? By drawing parallels between white and Black experiences, she made slavery's horrors immediate and unbearable. She transformed gender constraints into power, using women's limitations to amplify her moral authority. Through shipping manifests and banking transactions, she exposed how Northern finance profited from slavery while maintaining moral superiority's facade. The Harris family eventually reaches Canada, experiencing that transformative moment of crossing into liberty. The novel concludes with their emigration to Liberia, a colonizationist ending reflecting one era's flawed solution. Uncle Tom's Cabin's reputation collapsed within a generation. Tom shows, theatrical adaptations influenced by minstrel traditions, transformed Stowe's heroic, principled Tom into a shuffling, servile stereotype. These productions added bloodhounds to Eliza's escape and recast the vigorous Tom as feeble-minded. Eventually, Uncle Tom became a racial slur for excessive subservience, a profound distortion of Stowe's character, who dies rather than betray fellow slaves. Critics blamed Stowe for perpetuating racism, prompting African-American writers from Richard Wright to Toni Morrison to rewrite her narrative. The novel was dismissed for sentimentality and excluded from literary anthologies until the late 1980s. Rehabilitation came when scholars argued that sentimentalism was the primary mode of radical politics, extending normal states of primary feeling to people from whom they have previously been withheld. What critics dismissed as emotional manipulation was actually a deliberate strategy to expand readers' moral imagination, to make them feel what they had been trained to ignore. Uncle Tom's Cabin endures because Stowe understood that social change requires both political action and personal transformation. When Tom refuses to whip another slave, despite knowing it will cost his life, he embodies moral courage transcending racial hierarchies. When Senator Byrd helps fugitive slaves, despite voting for the fugitive slave law, he demonstrates how abstract political positions crumble when confronted with human suffering. The novel's prophetic warning proved tragically accurate. Nations harboring great and unredressed injustice contain the seeds of their own destruction. Less than a decade later, America descended into civil war. Yet the deeper moral challenge, recognizing the full humanity of all people, regardless of race, remains unfinished. Nearly two centuries later, Stowe's fundamental question still echoes: will you see the humanity in those your society has taught you to ignore? Will you act on that recognition, even when it costs you something?